Jeremiah 12. Righteous are you, O Lord, that I would plead my case with you. Indeed, I would discuss matters of justice with you. Why has the way of the wicked prospered? Why are all those who deal in treachery at ease? You have planted them. They have also taken root. They grow. They have even produced fruit. You are near to their lips, but far from their mind. But you know me, O Lord. You see me, and you examine my heart's attitude toward you. Drag them off like sheep for the slaughter, and set them apart for a day of carnage. How long is the land to mourn, and the vegetation of the countryside to wither? For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, animals and birds have been snatched away, because men have said, he will not see our latter ending. If you have run with footmen, and they have tired you out, then how can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thicket of the Jordan? For even your brothers and the household of your father, even they have dealt treacherously with you. Even they have cried aloud after you. Do not believe them, although they may say nice things to you. I have forsaken my house. I have abandoned my inheritance. I have given the beloved of my soul into the hands of their enemies. My inheritance has become to me like a lion in the forest. She has roared against me. Therefore, I have come to hate her. Is my inheritance like a speckled bird of prey to me? Are the birds of prey against her on every side? Go, gather all the beasts of the field, bring them to devour. Many shepherds have ruined my vineyard. They have trampled down my field. They have made my pleasant field a desolate wilderness. It has been made a desolation. Desolate it mourns before me. The whole land has been made desolate because no man lays it to heart. On all the bare heights in the wilderness, destroyers have come. For a sword of the Lord is devouring from one end of the land even to the other. There is no peace for anyone. They have sown wheat and have reaped thorns. They have strained themselves to no profit. But be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus says the Lord concerning all my wicked neighbors who strike at the inheritance with which I have endowed my people Israel. Behold, I am about to uproot them from their land and will uproot the house of Judah from among them. And it will come about that after I have uprooted them, I will again have compassion on them, and I will bring them back, each one to his inheritance and each one to his land. Then, if they will really learn the ways of my people to swear by my name as the Lord lives, even as they taught my people to swear by Baal, they will be built up in the midst of my people. But if they will not listen, then I will uproot that nation, uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. Thus read the Word of God. So we look around us today, and it seems like the way of those contradicting God and His Word is favored and is prospering. In this section here where Jeremiah sees that and is puzzled and questions, is very similar to and mirrors Asaph's discouragement in Psalm 73, where he sees the prosperity of the wicked and he's puzzled. He doesn't understand. Here, Jeremiah says, you know my heart. You know that I'm clean before you. I'm, as it says here, you know me. When you see me, you examine my heart's attitude toward you. So he knows that not only is the Lord seeing his heart, but he also sees the heart of these that are speaking kind things about God, that are on where God is on their lips, but far from their hearts. And he's calling for justice. So we see here that he knows our hearts, no matter what we say or what external actions. We see here that he does know our hearts and judges. And in the end, God will not be mocked. He will not be deceived, as we might even self-deceive. The judge, as we heard this morning, the judge of all the earth will do right. So God may indeed give them over, the wicked, over to what one hymn writer calls fatal ease. And Asaph in Psalm 73 came to see the result, even in that case, that in the end, they come to nothing and are judged. But God's way is often to thwart and frustrate the way of those that turn from him. We see that in the curse of the fall of man, where pain and labor and difficulty in labor was given. And we see this in the blessings and curses of the covenant in Deuteronomy. And we see God reminding Jeremiah of this principle here. He reminds Jeremiah that there are these difficulties that, and those things where God is working against the people, even in the land and in the harvest. So this does not mean that every difficulty is God's cursing or working against us because of sin. But it does mean that wherever we turn from him and his commands, whether in whole or in part, we have every reason to expect our ways to be frustrated and fruitless, as we saw God was doing here with the people of Israel and Judah. Then in verse 15, we see, and following, we see the mercy of the Lord with the call to repentance. This is a promise to us as one of those other nations where if we truly learn, if we truly turn to the Lord and listen to the Lord, that he will bless us along with his people from all ages. But we also see the sobering warning for a nation that does not listen to the Lord in verse 17. But if they will not listen, then I will uproot that nation, uproot and destroy it, declares the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are merciful, full of compassion, and slow to anger. We see this in passage here in Jeremiah, where even after discipline, that you will turn and give and show your compassion once more. So we ask that you would show us your mercy. We are like sheep that so often go astray and turn to our own way. We so often lean on our own understanding. So again, we ask that you would deal mercifully with us and also mercifully with our nation. We ask that you would turn the hearts of the people of our nation towards you once more. Seems so impossible and so unlikely in what we see during our day, but we know that you can do it, so we ask you for that, and that the leaders of this nation would value your word and the principles of your word and govern by them. We also ask that you would make us as a congregation and each of us personally to be good and faithful witnesses. That we would have wisdom, the boldness, loving care for others to speak the truth, in love, and that we would not be ashamed of the gospel and of what you say in your word. We pray that you be with Pastor Barnes and his family, that you would give safe travels, refreshing time, and even the opportunity as they're visiting family to be a witness to those in their family that do not know, do not trust in you. We pray that you be with the sick in our congregation, that you would heal to be your will, and that you would give patience and reliance on you in the struggle. We pray that you would be with Becky's husband, John, as he travels to South Sudan for the documentation he needs, and that ultimately you would speed the process to bring him here to join us and to reunite with Becky and with Dane. And finally, we ask that you would work in us the fruits of your Spirit, that we would grow in love, joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.